Hallelujah, and in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we continue servitude lecture. So, praise and thank God that this is my last topic to share with you. Self-sacrifice and servitude. So first let me ask you a question, right? So how is self-sacrifice and servitude related? How is this related? So self-sacrifice and servitude, how is it related? My sister Linda. Okay. So when you're serving others, so you sacrifice yourself for others. That's what you're saying? Okay. Okay. So any other thought? Or Paul, any thought? Yeah, so for myself, sacrifice relate to servitude, because when you serve, then you need to sacrifice yourself. Right? And is that the, yeah. Okay. So any other thought at all for this? Because when I prepare for this topic, I also, you know, try to think, right? So self-sacrifice and servitude. Every time I think about self-sacrifice and servitude, I always think, because when I first came out to dedicate myself to TTP, and a lot of people always say, you know, Vudi, how do you be able to sacrifice yourself, right? Actually, this word is very, actually, it's very tough, right? Self-sacrifice. But, and then when I think about, really, when I dedicate myself to serve God, am I sacrificing myself to serve God? Actually, not really. It's a blessing for me to be able to serve God. But when we are serving God, we have to know that we are sacrificing something. You guys understand what I'm saying? So I'm thinking about Isaiah, right? When Isaiah saw the glory of God in chapter 6, right? So during that time, right, in the seraphim yelling out, "Holy, holy, God Almighty," right? And the doorposts all shake, right? So because the glory of God filled the whole temple. So during that time, Isaiah was very excited. Because when God say, "Who shall go for us?" Right? "Who shall go for us?" Then Isaiah say, "Here I am, send me," right? Such confidence. Then I think two verses later, then he said, "How long, Lord," right? "How long, right, am I gonna serve you? How long these people, they're not gonna hear your word?" So actually serving God, really, we need to understand this concept. Yes, when we're serving God, sometimes just like when Jesus going to Jerusalem, right? Everybody yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna," right? "Glory to the highest." After, right, crucify him. Crucify him. So this is a concept of sacrificing for us to serve God. So sometimes when we try to serve God, we need to have this kind of attitude. Yes, everything is not going to go as you plan. Sometimes you can argue with someone. Sometimes you can have dispute with someone. But nevertheless, our heart has to be at the right place. Why? Because we already sacrificed ourselves. I remember when I went to take a test in TTP, and one of the pastors, I was there early, so the one of the pastors said to me, "Say, Rudy, are you sure you want to do this?" I said, "Yeah." He's like, "Are you sure?" I go, "Yeah." And I say, "Why?" And he's like, "You know what it's like, to become a full-time minister." He said, "First, you need to sacrifice yourself. When you sacrifice animals, the first thing you need to do, you get peel all your skin, right? Peel all your skin. And after that, you need to chop yourself up. So this is how God going to train you, right? The way it is." And it's true. Because if God want to train us as his worker, we definitely have to go through trial and tribulation. There's no doubt. Like my wife always say, right? If I want to build bigger muscle, I need a lot of resistance. So when I go and lift weights and stuff, right? If I lift only very light resistance, I cannot build any muscle. The same thing in serving God. If you don't go through trial and tribulation, there's no resistance. Because through resistance, we can build our character to serve God. So this is very important. So our attitude when we're serving God, do not think that everything going to go very hung hao, right? It's not going to be like that. But rather, if we in trial and tribulation, we still have the kind of peace and joy, and then we know we truly be able to serve God. Just think about all the prophets, right? Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Why does he weep? For himself? Yeah, for himself. And for the people, right? Look at Elijah and Elisha. All those prophets. Look at Moses, right? 40 years in the wilderness. On the end, he can't even enter the land of Canaan. Because the people got him so upset, he struck the rock, right? Twice. So God said, I'm sorry, you cannot go. Imagine that, leading people for 40 years, and your hope is the land of Canaan, you can't enter it. So when we talk about self-sacrifice and servitude, we need to have this kind of attitude. Because when we're serving God, a lot of time we need to sacrifice ourselves. This means if you watch TV 3 hours a day, we get a sacrifice, right? Maybe you watch less TV. If you want to play video games 2-3 hours a day, you also need to sacrifice. So many things when we come to serve Christ, we need to sacrifice. Because the sacrifice is to die for Christ. So do not think when we come to serve God, really, because when you do a burnt offering, a sacrifice offering, you gotta put right on the altar and let everything be burnt. Just like Abraham when he wanted to sacrifice Isaac, right? What does he do? He just put Isaac right on the burning sacrifice and he ready to kill him and just burn him. So for us, it's the same thing. When we talk about serving God and sacrificing, we have to think of ourselves that we're gonna die for Christ. Ultimately die for Christ. So this means, if Christ say, you die for me tomorrow, then you say, yes, I'm willing to die for you. Just like Peter, just like Paul, all those guys, they are willing to die for Christ. So for us, when we think about sacrifice and servitude, it goes hand in hand. Without sacrifice, there's no servitude. But if we be able to sacrifice ourselves to serve God, really this servitude becomes like a sweet smelling aroma to God. So it's very important. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 34. So the question is, how can we die for Christ? Right? For example, how can we die for Christ? If we want to sacrifice ourselves to Him, how can we die for Him? Chapter 10, verse 34. Verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Verse 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Verse 36. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So we know for us to die for our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to love our Lord Jesus Christ. Over here, God said He did not come to bring peace on earth, but rather a sword. If we know the sword represents the word of God, this means when God brings His word to us, and His word truly will cause division among our families. Just like my parents and I. Before I came to True Jesus Church, I went to the Greek Orthodox. So during that time, my parents said, the day you get baptized in True Jesus Church, no longer you are my son. Really, the word of God set my parents as my enemy. Because during that time, my parents, they already say to me, if you get baptized in True Jesus Church, truly, you're no longer my son. So during this time, as a son, I want to obey my parents. But as the children of God, I want to obey God during that time. So that's why for us, we need to understand, yes, we need to love our father and mother more than, less than God. We need to love our children less than we are, less than we love our God. Because our God is our love. So we have this kind of attitude. So when we come to serving God, this means no matter what come before us, God is always first. Like we shared when she was sick, when she was bleeding. Really, as a husband, I want to be there for her. But even if I'm there for her, without God, I cannot do anything for her. So that's why for me, if I stay here to serve God, and then God will take care of my wife. I was thinking, even though my heart, I want to be with her. All this time, she never gets sick. Now that she is sick, I want to be there for her. But nevertheless, God say here, we need to love Him more than our family. Actually, if we love Him more than our family, this means we do not know how to love our family? Actually, it's not that way. Because God is a source of love. If we want to truly love our family and our children, if we know how to love God, then we know how to love them much better. Because if we love God automatically, we will love our brother and sister. We will love our family. Why? Because God is a source of love. So that's why for us, we want to die for a person. We need to understand that person has to be the greatest love for us. But if we feel like Christ is not our love, how can we die for him? Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, he loved us. Right? He loved us. That's why, because of his love, he's willing to shed his blood for us. He's willing to hang himself on the cross for us because he loved us. So love will cause a person to die for one another. To die for one another. That's why for us, when we live a life of sacrifice, this means we need to understand we need to die for Christ. Just like we need to put Christ in front of everything that we have. Because if Christ tells us we need to love him more than our family, this means our job has no comparison, right? Our career, money, all those stuff has no comparison. Because in life, the most precious thing we have is our family. But if Christ tells us to put him before our family, this means that we truly need to love him. So we need to have this kind of concept. If we don't have this kind of concept to serve God, then our attitude is not right because we will not offer our totality to God. Because God said, if you love God, right, love him with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our soul. So this means love God with our totality. When we offer ourselves to God, we offer him, offer ourselves every single thing. It doesn't mean you have to become a full-time minister. But everything you do for God, if you play the piano for God, you translate for God, you vacuum for God, you help to save soul for God, you do with your totality. You do it because you're willing to die for our Lord Jesus Christ. And also we need to know, if we be able to die for a person, this person has to be our hope. It has to be our hope. Because if you read Matthew chapter 10 verse 38, and he who does not take his cross and fall after me is not worthy of me. Why are we willing to sacrifice ourselves to die for God? Because we know only dying in Christ that our hope is in him. Just think about this. We are very young, right? We are very young. So many times we think we are so invincible, we cannot die. Because why? Because only old people die. But actually, if you go to the cemetery, right? If you look at the tombstone, many of those people died. They are our age, younger than us. They died. So for us, if we don't know that Christ is our hope, and then we cannot die for him. Paul said, right? Paul, he's truly willing to die for our Lord Jesus Christ because he knows. Because he went into the third heaven. He doesn't even want to live in this world. Because he knows his hope is in the Heavenly Father. So the same thing for us. If we truly want to serve God, if we truly want to have that kind of life of sacrifice, we need to know that he is our hope. So are we willing to take the cross and follow after him? If we do not have hope in Christ, I think none of us would serve God. Really? For what? If you have no hope, then we just go out and do what we need to do in the world, right? Dancing, partying, drinking. There's no hope. But nowadays, you can see, the reason we feel that we don't need to serve God because what kind of hope does God give us? This hope is such a far distant, right? It seems so far from us. So that's why, say, what is good is it, right? What good is it? We learn the book of Malachi, right? What good is it for us to serve you? What do you give us in serving you? But many of us, because we are short-sighted, right? We cannot see the spiritual things. So because we cannot see the spiritual things, so we think that our hope is in this world. That's why, really, just think about this. We every single day, at least one of us, I mean, many of us, at least work 8 hours a day for those of us who are working. 8 hours a day. That means at least 40 hours a week. How much time do we put toward our Lord Jesus Christ? Our job is not our hope. Our career is not our hope. But our Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. But how many hours we put toward our Lord Jesus Christ? The reason we cannot put too much hour toward him because our hope is not in him. But if our hope is in him truly, we are willing to die for him. We are willing to die for him. So really think and reflect about ourselves. Are we willing to die for Christ? We willing to die for him. If we are truly willing to die for Christ to serve him, what is the big deal? To do this, to do that, it's not a big deal. Just like when you fall in love with a person. Really. When you first fall in love with a person, I'm talking about when you first really meet each other, you're like, you know, you feel like that person is your Eve, right? You're so much in love. You would talk on the phone 3-4 hours to one another. And sometimes even talk on the phone, the person did not say anything, right? Just hang on. Just to hear a person breathing, you feel so satisfied. Because you are in love, right? Because you are in love. Many times say, okay, honey, you hang up. No, you hang up. But just, really, because a lot of times, why, you have this kind of love inside of you, right? The love. Because you hope that one day you really spend your life together. So for us, it's the same thing. And also, we need to understand that Christ is our life, right? If we read Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Actually, a different gospel said, he who finds his life in this world will lose it. But he, right, who finds life in me, finds life in me, will have it, right? Will find it. So this means for us truly, because the world is an enmity to God, because in this world there's only three things, right? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. So if we have those three things inside of us, we become an enemy of God. But if we lose our life to this world, then truly we find the meaning of life. That's what it's like to serve God. Because many times we think that serving God is such a burden. Serving God, we have no freedom to do anything. But actually, just the opposite. Because when we are serving God, we find our life in our Lord Jesus Christ, then we are free to do everything. Really, nowadays, the reason I don't want to watch TV, not because I feel that, I feel like so constrained, I don't want to watch TV. No, because I have this freedom to choose. If I want to watch TV, I watch it. If I don't want to watch it, I don't want to watch it. But many people in the world who do not live under Christ, they live in the world, they find a life in the world, they cannot stop watching TV. They spend 5-6 hours every single day watching TV. Why? Because the TV control them. So we have no freedom. The reason people drink, the reason people do drugs, not because they want to, because they cannot overcome it. They cannot overcome because why? Because they cannot find their life in Christ. So that's why for us, we should not be like the people in the world. Because the people in the world, they do not have Christ. But we have Christ. Because we have Christ, we're willing to die for Christ. Because Christ is our life. If we do not die for Christ, there's no life in us. There's no life in us. That's why when we say when we are baptized, we die into Christ and bury into Christ. So this means for us, we need to make a determination. Are we truly willing to die for Christ? But many of us, especially our younger generation, we always stay on the cross by hanging on the cross. Include myself. We hang on the cross. If we just hang on the cross, it's really life is full of suffering. Why? Because when you hang on the cross sometime, one eye looking to the world, right? The world seems so good. And the other eye looking, I need to die with Christ and bury with Christ. But we cannot make determination. So we keep hanging on the cross. Should I go into work in the world? Should I, be in the world? Or should I go with Christ? But if we have this kind of attitude, we just hang on the cross and it's suffering. So that's why God tells us here, if truly we want to die for Him, we need to lose our life in the world. I mean, everything concerning the world, right? We're loose to it. Then we can find life in Christ. It doesn't mean that we have to stop working, we have to stop doing this, stop doing that. No. Because there's many things in the world God wants us to enjoy. But we're talking about conforming to the world, the bad things in the world for us. If we find those kind of stuff, then truly Christ does not live in us. So any thought at all on this topic? To die for Christ. To die for Christ. Seem like to die for Christ is such a big word, right? But actually, if we really think about it, we want to serve God, this is the kind of attitude we have. We are willing to die for Him. Die for Him. Any thought? Kelvin, any thought at all? No thought. Anybody have any thought? For me, I always wish, right, that I came to Christ earlier. Because I see many young kids, right, they're 17, 18, they go to NYTS. So by the time they're 21, they've already been in NYTS 3 times, 4 times already, right? And they're only in their 20s. For me, I didn't come to Christ till I was late 20s. So now I'm in my 30s and, well, it's time going by so quickly, right? So don't have time too much to develop a foundation in Christ. But for the younger people, truly, you can develop a strong, strong foundation. Really, you can have that kind of faith when you tell a mountain to move, it will move for you. Why? Because many of you are born in church, right? So your foundation should be so strong. So to die for Christ should be a piece of cake. Should be a piece of cake. But many of us, we're willing to die for many other things except for Christ. Really? Except for Christ. It's very ironic. Very ironic. But that's because we are lack of faith. We are lack of faith. And another thing too, self-sacrifice had to be with a willing heart. Right? With a willing heart. These two dogs are very cute, right? You cannot see too clear, but if you look at their faces, really, they are very joyful, very peaceful, and just very happy to be alive. Right? Very happy to be alive. So when we talk about self-sacrifice and servitude, it has to be from a willing heart. If you don't have a willing heart to sacrifice yourself, the sacrifice become a null, become nothing. Become nothing. So that's why for us, when we're talking about, you know, being that spark, right? Being the spark to, you know, maybe to get the whole church full of fire and stuff like that. We ourselves, when we serve God, we cannot complain too much. I do too much this, I do too much that, or this such a burden, this and that. All these kind of things cannot, you know, spark another person. But rather we do with a willing heart. But how do we know we do with a willing heart? A person who do with a willing heart, they always be full of joy. Always full of joy. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 19, verse 6. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Actually, we know this is the story of Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. This means he's a chief sinner. So during that time, because our Lord saw him, because of his faith, saw him. So our Lord Jesus Christ told him that today I will come to your house. So during that time, when if Jesus come to his house, he have to serve God. But during that time, say when he received him, he make haste and came down, right? And they say make haste and come down. Then he said, so he make haste and came down and received him joyfully. This is the way to serve God. If we serve God with our joyful heart, it's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. Of course, when we're talking about joyful heart, this means even though there's many things we need to do, but our joy is always in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Moses. Moses, when he was with the people, right, it's very difficult for him to be joyful. Because every time the people do not listen, the people are so disobedient, the people build a golden calf, all those kind of things. But you can see that Moses, every time he go to speak to God, he feel very joyful. He see the glory of God. So for us, yes, there's many things that we do. There's a burden to us. But nevertheless, when we're talking about serving God, this means from inside our heart, deep down inside, we are so joyful. When people see us doing this kind of thing, then really they will feel admire. That how can this person full of joy? Remember, joyfulness is not the same thing as happiness, right? Happiness is stimulated by the outside world. But joyfulness is stimulated by the Spirit of God that's inside of us. So this means many things we can do. We can go drinking, dancing, do this, do that. We feel happy. But the joyfulness can never come out of those kind of things. Only serving God truly that feel the joy. So that's why nowadays, really for me, there's many things that I seem like, you know, I like to do. I like to play basketball. I like to go fishing, this and that. Yes, those things make me happy. I go, especially going with brothers and stuff like that and have fellowship with brother and sister. Those things make me happy. But the joy that come out of that is only when we have fellowship in the Lord. When we go fishing, we talk about God. We play basketball, we talk about God. Those kind of things that give me joy. Because when we talk to brothers and sisters, I remember one time we were on our way to fishing, right? To Coyote Lake, something like that. During that time, we had one of the truth seekers was with us too. And we five of us, we went there. I counted how many times we praise and thank God from my house all the way to the lake. Really, at least 30 times. For some reason, every time we talk, we just praise and thank God for this, praise and thank God for that. So I feel so joyful. Even though go fishing from the, you know, from a physical eye is only fishing. But actually during a time when we talk, we sit, really, we praise the name of God. So my heart was very joyful. And also, we also need to be full of love. When we don't do with a willing heart, then it's very hard for us to be full of love. Why? Because if someone tells us to do something against our will, how can we be full of love? It's impossible. That's why in Luke chapter 19, verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." So during this time, from a chief tax collector, from a person who takes money from people, to a person to give money, right, to return for what he did. Not only that, but also he gave half his money to the poor. So this means when he's serving God during the time, God touched his heart so much that he's willing, right, to give half to the poor, and if he take anything falsely, he give back them fourfold. So it's me, on the end, Zacchaeus have no money. Maybe he go bankrupt. But nevertheless, his heart is full of love because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because right now, that moment, he be able to serve our Lord Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ went to his home. So for us, the same thing. If we truly want to serve people, we need to have love. We need to have love. Without love, you cannot serve anybody. You cannot serve anybody. Just imagine someone asks you to pray for them, right? 1 month, 2 months, 3 months without love. Can you really pray for them for that long? It's impossible, right? It's impossible. We cannot do that. But if we have the love of Christ in us, truly we can pray for months and years for one person. For one person. Also, we be full of faith. If we do from a willing heart, this means the reason we are willing to do it because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. Chapter 19, verse 9. And Jesus said to them, "Today salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham." Actually, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Those who are of faith are son of Abraham." So the reason that Zacchaeus is able to be joyful, is able to be full of love, because he's willingly to serve our Lord Jesus Christ because of his faith. So for us, if we truly want to serve God from a willing heart, we need to have faith. We need to have faith. Because without faith, we cannot do anything. We cannot do anything. For example, we've been picking a person up for many, many months and even years to come to church. But if we don't have faith that God will reward us in heavenly places, then really we cannot serve for too many years. We cannot. How can you pick that person up? Two, three years, right? All the time, actually, you're picking them up. How can it be? Because sometimes, even you pick people up, sometimes they are not so appreciative, right? They don't say thank to you, this and that. But if we have the faith that God will reward us, then it's very easy. We do it for God. Because we do it for God, so God's blessing will come upon us, and also our blessing will come upon those people we picked up. I remember that, because when we first came to Christ, all the sisters, all the youth in Boston, right? They don't have a car. So we need to pick them up. During that time, I drive a Ford Probe GT. So it's only two doors, right? It's a sports car. So usually we fit 6-7 people in that car. But before we can put them in the car, we need to go drive around and pick anybody up, right? So I remember one time. So we pick this first sister up, right? If this sister is late, this means everyone else you pick is going to be late. So this sister, we go in front of a house and all of a sudden beeping the horn, go, nobody's home. Then all of a sudden she see her walking, right, with a Starbucks coffee, right? And we're like, "Hey, you're supposed to be here 15 minutes ago. Where you been?" It's like, "Oh, I was drinking coffee at Starbucks." And for you, you feel like, wow, this person, right? Why? You picking her up, she's not even willing. But the thing is, because maybe she during the time, she just feel like, you know, we just like brother and sister, right? So it's not a big deal, right? You pick, you know, you're supposed to pick me up, right? That kind of attitude. But it's okay, because it's true, because we are so close in that time. She feels it's okay for her to go get coffee and to be late and stuff like that. But many times, things like this happen, right? You pick 4 or 5 people up, really, every single day for months and months. But the thing is, I find out, if we really don't feel like God will reward us, and then really, it's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do. I remember one time because one of the sisters to drive, you know, to learn to drive a car. She's just from Taiwan and stuff like that, right? So they took my car and stuff like that. So the next morning I realized that, you know, when I start my car and then I see the emergency brake is on. For me, I never put on emergency brake. right? So they put on emergency brake. Then when I was, and I put it back down, I see the light is still on, right? Emergency brake is on. So during that time, I have about 6-7 people in the car driving in a snowy day. And all of a sudden, I look in my rear view mirror. My tire went on fire. There's a flame coming out of there. And then all of us get out of the car and take the snow, right? And put on a fire and stuff like that, right? And then I say to her, I said, what did you guys do yesterday when you take the car? So what happened when they turn on the emergency brake, when they're driving it, they never put it back down. So the emergency brake pad stuck on the rim, right, of the car. So when I driving it, the thing caught on fire. But even that time, I should be very mad, right? I should be very mad. But when I look at the sister and stuff, they were, you know, they were trying to put the snow on the thing. And that time, I just filled with joy, you know, just like, really, just like a family, right? Because during the time, we always make fun because 6-7 people in the car, if someone like blow a fart or something, we a big mess, right? But the thing is, we be able to talk these kind of things. Why? Because we are so close to one another. We are so close to one another. Why? Because we have the faith. When we serve God, God will reward us in the heavenly kingdom. So that's why I serve with a willing heart. Do not do things, right? To, like the Bible says, do not grumbling, right? Don't grumble. Why? Because if you grumble, the reward from heaven is gone. It's gone. But rather do with a willing heart. Everything that you do, God will remember. Really, God will remember. Because God, He's a faithful God. For Ha and I, really, these last 7 years, we experienced many, many things from God. Because the reason we can be faithful to Him, because we know He's faithful to us first. Really, God, it's hard because the last 7 years, really, Ha and I, we financially, we didn't do too good and stuff like that. But for some reason, I tell you one story, right? Every time, our bills, during the time Ha was still in college. So when I was working, I started working, I didn't make too much money. So our bill is about $3,500 a month. And we make only about $2,800 or $3,000 a month. And that time we have Bible study every night, right? People come to our place, we cook and stuff all the time, right? But every single month, we always have enough money. We do not understand this. It's so strange. But we, you know, of course I sold my boat. I didn't sell my boat. I sold my karaoke set. Right, I sold my stereo system, all this kind of stuff that I don't need really, right? I sold it. But the thing is, every single month, for some reason, God provide enough. God provide enough. I remember one time, because the Boston Prayer House, they needed chairs, right? Actually, we needed chairs because we have service in our basement. So Ha went out and bought 30 chairs in that time for $300. So during that time, we didn't ask the church for money and stuff because, you know, it's our willing heart. We just paid the $300. And during the time we were doing the skylight in our house. So the contractor, the night before I call him, I say, how much, you know, you're going to charge us? He already told me before, but I just want to remind him. He said, $1,500. Right? So during that time, then he came in and then I talked to him, hey, Mike, how you doing? It's like, good. It's like, and he's like, yeah, Vudi, I just want to charge you $1,200, right? I'm like, what? I said, you just told me last night you want to charge $1,500, right? He says, for some reason, I just wanted to charge you $1,200. Really, it's so crazy, right? And then the $300 is God paid for the chairs that we bought, right? Really, this is amazing. All these little things. The same thing for many years. We go to NYTS, this and that, right? So all this money that we spend. So I calculate maybe all those years we spend. Actually, I didn't calculate it first until one time my job, they had a special project. There's 120 people in my company. Only one person can do it. That's me. Right? This project, no one else can do it except for me. So that project, maybe I worked for about 7 or 8 hours and I made almost $10,000. Right? And I even get to go to Hawaii during that time. Right? So then I realized, why do I get this money? Right? I've been working there for 6 years. This thing never happened to me. It just happened now before I quit the job and go to TTP, right? God allowed this to happen. Then I calculate everything. After I give tithes and everything like that, it come almost exactly what we spend during those years. We go to different places. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because God is a faithful God. So when we serve with a willing heart, really, we have to have faith that God will reward us. Not only in this life, but also the life to come. So that's why for us, we should serve God with a joyful heart. Of course, these are the biggies, right? If we want to sacrifice ourselves to serve God, the love of Christ needs to compel us. Without the love of Christ, you have nothing. You have nothing. That's why, you know, I hear about the early days, right? All the ministers and stuff, how they can leave their family 5-6 months, go to different. Why they be able to do all these kind of things? Because the love of Christ compelled them. Because without the love of Christ, it's impossible really to do anything. Why? Because after a while, it become a burden. For me, when I was working my job, right, the first couple of months, I was very excited when I was working. After 6 months, 1 year, really, every single morning, I'm like, why am I going to work? Really, it's nothing there. There's no reward. You do exactly the same thing every single day. What do you get for it? Just a little money, right? That money. And then you take the money, what? Go drink and get drunk, right? That's people do, right? They drink, get drunk, then buy clothing, this and that. So you work all this time just to get those things. Get those things. But in Christ, it's very different. That's why when we're talking about the love of Christ compel us, this means when we do things, His love compels us. The reason we are be able to be here, because He sacrificed for us. He died for us. So have this kind of thinking in our mind. Because without the love of Christ, we cannot be all things, right? Serving God, there's many things we need to be. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 7. Say here, right? This time about the definition of love. Let's start from verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Actually, the first word that come out of definition of love is love suffers long. Love suffers long. So love suffers long and is kind. Does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Verse 7. Bear all things. Believe all things. Hope all things. And do all things. So for us, if the love of Christ compels us, we be able to be all things. This means when people rebuke us, when people judge us, when people do this, do that to us, we be able to bear it. Why? Because our Lord Jesus Christ also bear many things for us, including our sin, because of His love, right? Because of His love. So if we fill with the love of God, if the love of God compels us to serve Him, this means it's very easy for us to sacrifice ourselves and serve Him. Why? Because of love, we be able to do this. Just like Paul, right? Paul, he truly understands the love of God because he said, I'm a chief sinner. Even though I'm a chief sinner, but God has called me to be His prophet. So because of this, he said, what can separate us from the love of God, right? Can tribulation, can trial, right? Can principality, can power, can any of those things separate Paul from the love of Christ? He said, no, not anything. So the same thing for us. If we are compelled by the love of Christ to serve God, nothing will move us. Nothing will move us. We continue day by day to serve Him until we die. Until we die. So let the love of Christ compel us so we can bear all things when we are serving God. When we are filled with the love of Christ and when Christ's love compels us, we be able to hope in all things. Actually, sometimes, you know, when we are, especially working with people, right? Because we are people, sometimes we are not so pleasant, right? We're not so pleasant and we are very difficult, really. The most difficult thing in ministry is people relationship. People relationship. Because if without people in the church, then you have no problem. But without people in the church, then there's no church, right? So you cannot do without people. So if you want to serve God, it's impossible for you not to interact with people, right? Maybe you're in double E, something, design engineering, something like that. You can just look in front of your computer. You don't need to deal with people. But in God, right, in church, you have to deal with people. So that's why for us, sometimes when people come to us, right, tell us this thing, tell us that thing, and sometimes they tell us their weaknesses and we need to bear all these things. But not only to bear, but also we need to hope, have this kind of hope that Christ will change them one day. Right? Because sometimes we pray for them for many, many times, right? Maybe years, but this person is still the same. But never lose that kind of hope. When we lose hope and then we cannot work, we cannot interact with people. We cannot serve them. We cannot encourage them. Because only with the hope, right? Hope all things mean everything that's going on with our brother and sister. We hope that one day they will change. That's why for us, we need to think about this kind of concept. Nowadays, I think when we serve in God, we lose this kind of hope. And we cannot build this kind of hope inside of us. Not only with other people, but also in ourselves. Because a lot of time we just feel that this kind of hope is very difficult to see. Right? It's difficult to see. Because it takes faith to see this kind of hope. So a lot of time we're serving God day in and day out, but our hope is not in Christ. Why? Because the love of Christ does not compel us. The love of Christ does not compel us. And verse 7 say, be all things, believe all things, hope all things, also endure all things. This is the love of Christ. So we be able to fill our servitude with the love of Christ. This means we can be all things, we can hope all things, we can do all things. That means endure, this can be a lot of pain. Endures can be a lot of pain. But this pain, we can endure because the love of Christ compels us. So may God truly continue to guide us and live a life of, and to live a life of sacrifice. But the aroma that is leading to God should be a sweet-smelling aroma. If we want this sweet-smelling aroma, truly we need to understand we need to die for Christ and live for Christ, and the love of Christ compels us. So any question, any thought at all in this topic? We have about 9 minutes. 9 minutes? Any thought at all? You shall. Any thought at all on this self-sacrifice and servitude? Okay, Emily, you have something? Okay, Emily raising her hand like this again, so I see you this time. Yeah, I think sometimes we feel like at church we can die for Christ, for example. Right? At church we can die for Christ because come here we can feel like we are so humble, we're so nice, we do it. But when we go to work and we go outside, and then for some reason we resurrect ourselves, right? And then we become a very different person. Right? We're a different person. But really, right now, how many of you that your co-worker, your fellow students know that you're in Christ or in TJC? Raise your hand. Yes, many of us, thank God. Why? Because this is part of our life, right? Really, I cannot talk. I think sometimes I'm overdoing it because we invite hard uncle and stuff to come to our place. We try to evangelize them. But I think through the whole time I talk about God to them and I scare them away, you know? But because through the whole time I'm just talking about God, how wonderful it is, this and that. But actually, sometimes when we, you know, of course, you know, we need wisdom, right, to talk to people and stuff like that. But one thing for sure, make sure they know that we're in Christ. A lot of time, we don't let them know we're in Christ because a lot of things that we do is not Christ-like. Right? It's not Christ-like. So that's why, for me, when I first came to Christ, it's the same thing. A lot of time, I cannot tell them really I'm a True Church member because sometimes my attitude, And the way I act is not according to God's will. So I'm not glorifying God's name. So, yeah, what else you guys think about? When a person dies, right, we should die just one time, right? Right? Should just, when we die to Christ, can we just die at one time and be buried with Christ? Then don't resurrect ourselves back up again, right? But it's very difficult. It's very difficult.
Because God doesn't need anyone to serve him, right? He can raise whatever rock, whatever you want. You know, anybody, right? He doesn't need anyone to serve. So what he's really most concerned about is our character. And that does take a lifelong process to build up his own character. It's all the trials and the tribulations and, you know, all things that he brings in process. It's to build up our character in Christ. And, so he wants us to be in his image, right? His image is, you know, life, human spirit, right? Joy, love, kindness, and all that good stuff. And, but how do you know that you have that until something comes along that makes you prove yourself? So every single day we're living, we come across situations that we have to make a decision, like whether to go for the temptation or not, whether to be angry or not. And whenever we choose the right thing to do, the thing that our first impulse maybe to do the wrong thing, but when we consciously choose to do the right thing, make the right decision, in that instance, we become one of Christ. And so, through every single day that we live, and everybody we meet at work, and at church, and at school, and here and there, and we go through all these, it's a molding process. And so, slowly, God is reminding us, and the whole part of serving Him, I think, comes down to it, basically, is our character, who we are. The end of the day before we die and before we see Him in heaven, who has been molded us to be? Because I can say that, with some level of confidence that I'm not necessarily the same person I am today that I was 7 years ago. And neither are you.
That's for sure.
And so thank God for that, right? I think it's a terrible, it's a bad thing if 7 years from now we all look back and we haven't improved one bit. We haven't been molded more into the image of Christ, but yet we've been moving on farther away from that image because we had ideas set up for us. And that's the state of fallen man. It's a very sad state to be in. But, with the hope in Christ, and really all the stuff we're talking about, good intention, willing, and New Year's resolutions, all that stuff, it can only take you for, 2 months, right? So, but after you're done the NYTS, 1 week later, no one's praying anymore, right? So all that, don't know this, it's only short term. Really, the only way for us to build this up, discipline ourselves in this, is to be filled with the Spirit of God, because this fruit, image of God, is to be filled with the Spirit, and that's how we bear it. So, so for all of us, I don't think we should be discouraged, if we're not really there yet, because we have the rest of our lives to work on that, And I think we should just make sure that we're making progress, year in and year out, and not kind of just backsliding.
That's very true. I mean, if you really want to live a life of sacrifice and servitude, really be filled with the Spirit of God, be filled with the Word of God, and those two things will allow us to accomplish, right, what we want to do in our lives. Because without those two things, because for me, the reason that I'm changed as a person, of course, I have many, many more weaknesses. Hopefully that God trained me to overcome it. But nevertheless, the reason I changed from that angry, very angry Rudy, right, to a more or less angry Rudy, is because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Nothing else. Nothing else. I can go to the best psychiatrist. I can really read the best book on anger management. But it will not help. I tried it. It does not help. Only the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So everything we're talking about, servitude, sacrificing ourselves, serving God, all have to go back down to the basic. If we are filled by the Word of God, be filled by the Spirit of God, then truly we'll be filled with the love of God. And then everything we do will become prosperous. And not only prosperous, also everything we do will be according to God's will. So may God continue to help us and guide us, and truly, hopefully, that we continue to live a life of sacrifice, right? Living sacrifice is ironic, right? To sacrifice means you're dead. But living sacrifice is something else different. This means, yes, we die into the world, but we live in our Lord Jesus Christ. So may God continue to help us. Let's bow our hand and pray, saints. Amen. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we're going to have a discussion at 2:40. Okay. Wait, I'm ending a little bit early, too.
Why?